MMA Roadshow, episode number 379. My name is John Morgan. Cold coffee is with me.
Yeah.
But that's not all.
Nah.
Special guest in the house, longtime friend, VIP, haven't seen him in forever. The Simon Head is in the house.
Accept no substitutes. You need the Simon Head.
Oh, I appreciate you being here, man. It's feeling like International Fight Week already because we got that international flavor. We got our man, Abby Subban, just kind of hanging out in the background, smoking on something over there. Doesn't look like a cigarette, just saying. But having a good time, hanging out. And, it's here, man. It's International Fight Week is back. Look, I know we're just getting into it. I know we haven't gotten to the whole Expo and UFC X and all that. And we're going to talk about this insanely sick fight card of UFC 276. But, man, today was kind of cool, right? Like, you boys are back in town, man. Y'all can actually travel over here again. And we got to that media day at the UFC Apex today. And what was there? I mean, had to be 100 people set up in there. I mean, we have not seen a setup like that in forever.
It's mad. Do you remember when you're a kid and you've been really bad and you get grounded by your parents, right? And you're not allowed out. And then you've been good for a day or two. And then finally you get the good news. You're allowed to go out and see your friends again. That's what it feels like coming back here to Vegas. I've not been here since January 2020.
Jeez.
UFC 246. I'd done 245 in December, which was the Colby versus Usman rematch.
Right.
We had McGregor versus Donald Cowboy Cerrone,
right.
246. That was going to be the kickoff of Conor McGregor's season, if you remember that.
Yeah.
And then COVID hit, and everything stopped. And this is the first opportunity we've had to get back stateside since then. So it's nice. It's like getting the band back together again. It's great.
That's good. Talk to me about internationally, right, because we haven't had a chance to hang out and speak about it. I mean, I think a lot of people, again, not that anybody would say, hey, COVID was a great thing, but people have said for the UFC, COVID kind of ended up being a little bit of a boon, right? Like, they were the first sport back. Obviously, they had access to the UFC Apex, so things went on. And people have really pointed to, you know, subscribership growth, viewership growth here in the United States. I know from being in Belgium a couple of weeks ago and trying to watch an event at 4 in the morning and just realizing how damn difficult it is for you guys to have to follow along. I mean, have you seen the same type of uptick in viewership or fanhood like during COVID times?
I don't know whether it's been during COVID times, but the sport is definitely much more established now. I think BT Sport have done an incredible job with it. They just recently had their contract re-upped by the UFC, which is great news.
Right.
But they're not chopping and changing, moving to different providers. The team that do what they do at BT Sport, they do as good a job as any broadcaster that I'm aware of. I think they do a better job than ESPN, if I'm honest, in providing extra content for fans.
I only see the social stuff. Yeah. I don't see the program. But they do a lot of shoulder programming and stuff as well?
They do some shoulder programming. A lot of what they do is on YouTube, but they also run some of it on the linear channels as well. But they do a really good job with it. They've got a good group of people over there, and they do a really good job. The sport as a whole, like you've been, you know, we were saying just before we came on air, you've been doing this podcast for 7 years, right?
Crazy.
I've been on this podcast a fair few times, and we've been on a UFC International Fight Week a few times, and I've joked with you that it's been cursed in the past.
Yeah.
And one of the things that came out of each one of those was how agile the UFC is as a company and how they're able to pivot and change and just react to unexpected changes at the drop of a hat, whether it be changing the main event twice for UFC 200 in a space of 3 days,
crazy,
which is what they did that week. Being able to hold three events in a space of a week, which was absolutely nuts, and they pulled back from that eventually. But, you know, they've been able to make adjustments on the fly, and that's one of the things that makes the UFC as successful as it is. The ultimate test of that was the pandemic and the fact that they were used to being able to be agile and make changes and adapt, improvise and come up with new solutions meant that they were best placed to take advantage of the fact that there was no live sport on TV. How can we get our sport on TV? And they were the only show in town for a little while. And I think the sport has gone up, certainly on this side of the pond, level since then.
Yeah.
And back home in the UK, obviously a lot of the big UFC stuff, as you mentioned with the Belgium thing, happens in the dead of night for
us.
Tough,
man.
But the viewership, the fan base is bigger. UFC Fight Night in London in March was such a massive success. Dana White in a press conference said that they nearly pulled the event like the week before.
Yeah.
There was a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes that I think was getting a bit frustrating, and they were very close to pulling a pin and sort of saying, no, we're not going to do this. But then in the post-fight press conference, Dana was like, that's one of the sickest events we've ever done. I don't care what the schedule says. We're tearing it up. We're coming back. And at the end of July, They're coming back 23rd of July, and it'll be another insane event. They could sell out the O2 Arena without announcing a fight. That tells you how big the sport is.
That shows
you
the power of it. I remember the first time they did that in Australia. It was they were going to Australia. They announced that they were going to Australia.
Yeah.
And they hadn't even announced the fight. Tickets went on sale, and they sold out. I'm like, dude, that just shows you the power of the brand. Like, they have done well.
Yeah.
They have done well.
I've missed you when you say stuff like schedule.
Hi, Kenny.
I miss all your little phrases, Governor. I miss it.
Well, I just don't want to upset you, Kenny, because you know I know have you had these things registered as deadly weapons yet?
They've been put away. They're locked away.
No one throwing lazy leg kicks at you in the gym or anything. No.
They don't know.
They learn their lesson.
That's good to know. Never again.
Kenny Sluggins.
No, I love it. You know, that's one of the things. That's when you know it's International Fight Week. Because today, like, it was in the bigger room today. It was in the typical weigh-in rooms, which is much bigger than the media day room. But when you heard the questions today, you could hear the Australians. You could hear, you know, some of the English people speaking. That, to me, is when you really feel like it's International Fight Week. Outside of just the fighters, just the whole vibe of the media that's actually covering it, you know.
Right.
It's awesome to see. I mean, like, we even joke. I mean, like, this event as opposed to other pay-per-views. Like, pay-per-views will see media coming in town, but not to the extent of this.
Not like this.
Like, I can't remember the last time we saw this sort of turnout for
this
sort of event.
Well, I'm sure the change in travel restrictions is probably a big part. I mean, sure. I'm not trying to take this card that we're going to get to is sick.
Yeah.
But I imagine that's part of it too, right? Like now it's just easier. Like, you don't have to turn in negative tests, and there's no concern, all that stuff.
I mean, they're paying more than ever for the travel.
I
just wonder what it would be, if flights weren't so crazily priced. But it is awesome to see. I mean, like, obviously we're happy to see you guys here, but that was just tripped me out just listening to all the accents and stuff today. I was like, wow, it really is International Fight Week.
I'm looking forward to seeing the expo again, because I mean, that used to be a big thing, and now, like, all the guest fighters and stuff. I'm looking forward to it. Just a cheap little plug here. We'll be set up. The MMA junkie folks will be doing something different, but us over here at mixedmartialarts.com, we're going to set up. We're going to have a live stream going the whole day. I'm actually not going to go to the official weigh-ins or the ceremonial weigh-ins. I'm just going to go straight over to the expo. We're going to set up over there. We're going to have a live stream. We'll talk about the weigh-ins. We'll talk about everything. My man Simon Head is going to
join in with us. You can probably pull up my live stream
us.
While you're there.
I thought about that. I was wondering, like, maybe I could pull up a live stream and use your stream as an input into our stream or something. We'll see what we do about it. I'll just push in past the logo a little bit. We'll be all right.
I'm claiming that shit. I'm claiming that footage.
But we're going to sit around. We're going to have, the UFC is going to be shuffling in. Guest fighters wouldn't really be the right word, I guess, because there's so damn many of them, but they're just bringing people in. And so we figured we'll just sit there and break down the card. So if you're hanging out on Friday, if you're hanging out on Saturday, and you just want to join into the live stream, check us out. It'll be on the MMA Underground YouTube channel. We'll have a live stream set up there, and you can just duck in, duck out. I know, you know, I can't imagine too many people are going to stay with us the full 7 hours or whatever it may be, but, you know, join in. We'll try to interact with the chat and just bring you some interviews all day long. So
it's going to be a lot of fun. As I said, it's going to be basically a 7-hour chat between me and John, interrupted by a few UFC legends here and there.
You know.
So, it's going to be a lot of fun, and you know, chatting to people.
Like,
you know,
hang on there,
the
Chuck Liddell. I need Simon to finish his point right now.
Damn right. Damn right.
All right, let's get into it. UFC 276, we did finish with Media Day today. 18 deep on Media Day, so we got to talk to everybody on the main card, everybody on the ESPN prelims. Let me ask first. You know, Alexander Volkanovski had this little thing where he was like, hey, you know, a lot of people are telling me this is the main event. I don't know about it. I want to see. Are you guys feeling that? Because, I'm not saying I'm not excited to fight. We'll talk about that. But I'm super intrigued by Adesanya and Cannonier. And I get it. Maybe it's not, you know, two all-time greats in the division that are potentially jockeying for that. But while I am excited for the trilogy, I got to say no. If I'm saying the main event, I'm saying this card got built right. It's Adesanya versus Cannonier.
Here's the thing, right? I think if you're looking at the two title fights at the top of that card, Volkanovski versus Holloway is the better fight. That's my opinion. I think that's the better fight. But the star of the show is Israel Adesanya. And I think that's why he deserves to be in that main event spot. He's the guy who's going to pull the viewers just through his sheer personality, and everything about him screams stardom, right? He is the biggest, probably the biggest active star the UFC has right now, I think. You know, he's international. He's a world champion. He's got a superb record, and you know, I think everything, he ticks so many different boxes in terms of what you want from a poster boy for a sport or for a promotion. Now, in terms of the fight itself, I think the Volkanovski-Holloway fight has more intrigue to it than Adesanya versus Cannonier. But that's not to devalue the quality of the main event, which I think is a banger. And I think in some quarters he's being slightly slept on. I think Jerry Cannonier is a dangerous opponent for Israel Adesanya. More dangerous than some people are giving him credit for.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Because you tell me, okay, main event, you know, this is the Israel Adesanya show. And I agree with that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm saying, look, I'm looking at the betting lines. You know, they're up around like minus 400, which is, you know, that implies like an 80% probability of winning. Like, I get it. And listen, I'm telling you right now, gun to the head, make a pick, I'm picking Israel Adesanya. Like, I don't know how you pick against Israel Adesanya. But let me say, and Jerry Cannonier, and it's not just, you know, I will say there's some times where, you know, we hear from somebody and they just, they're so convincing that you start saying, oh man, maybe this guy has a chance. I didn't really get that impression today from Jerry Cannonier. I mean, Cannonier's an interesting cat, right? Like the way he talks and things he says and things, but it's not like it was just like, oh dude, he's so fired up, I'm feeling it. No. It's the man's game. It's the man's intensity. It's what we've seen in the cage, the knockout power, because I am kind of the mindset that if you're going to beat Israel Adesanya, you are not going to out-technique him. Like, you are not going to set up and be like, I think over the course of five rounds, I could probably outwork this dude on the feet. You know, I think either A, you've got to land one big shot, knockout power. I think Cannonier has that. Or you've got to be willing to walk through fire to get into a clinch, to make it, you know, to try to stuff him against the cage, to which, again, has proven harder than it's, you know, as Israel Adesanya said today, he's proud of where his grappling has come and where he's developed. So it's not like it's easy to do. But to me, that's the two ways you have a chance to beat Israel Adesanya. Catch him with one big shot or just walk through fire and make it dirty, grimy, into the clinch, try to get him on the ground. And I do feel like Jared Cannonier has both those options available to him.
Well, see, that the way you just described it, that's why, to me, that's the more interesting fight out of the two titles for me, and why I think it is the main event, because I'm watching it because I want to see what Izzy shows up, and is this the fight that Izzy's going to lose? Mm. Is this the fight where Izzy's not going to look good and he's going to do something wrong?
Everybody
I already know Volkanovski and Holloway is going to be a great fight. They were great fights. All the other fights were good. I mean, in terms of where maybe they are more evenly matched and they're competitive, I'm sure those two are closer. But honestly, the way that Volkanovski, maybe I've just somehow just drank the Kool-Aid, I don't think this is going to be as close as a fight as some of the other ones where I'm picking Volkanovski in this one. I think as much as I love Holloway, Holloway is not the same as Holloway used to be at his best. I think he's still one hell of a fighter and he can push Alex to the point we've seen where Alex, I mean, he very easily could have lost that fight against Ortega, but he didn't because he's a fucking monster, man. Like, Volkanovski's just firing on another level. I think he's – I wouldn't be surprised if he pulls an ass-whooping out on Max. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would not be surprised. But I think there's a better chance of that happening in this one. And with just with Izzy, I mean, Cannonier, I mean – I don't know. I just he's obviously very sure of himself and he's very comfortable in his own skin, but I just he doesn't emanate like this. Like, I'm going to be the guy that's going to destroy Izzy, but there's still that if factor that we've seen Izzy some days not look his best, you know. Even in that fight with Costa where Costa didn't give him anything for a while, Izzy looked flat. If he has a person on the opposite side that's flat that takes Izzy a while to get started, you know, that could be the difference of does he ever get it to the point where he can switch into that higher gear that he really starts getting loose and really starts getting exciting. I hope so, because that's the stuff I want to see out of Izzy, and that's the stuff that makes me want it to be the main event, because that's the fight we're going to see something more than likely in that fight that you're just going to be like, holy shit.
See,
like, that's the most amazing thing I saw.
I think you touched on it right there. I think that's one of the reasons I'm so excited about this fight is, yes, I like Jared Cannonier. He's interesting, but I feel like we got robbed of that Paulo Costa fight. Like, what we wanted to see in that fight, like the moments we were waiting for, the pressure we wanted to see, like can Adesanya. And Adesanya did say today, like, and then listen, Israel's smart, man. He knows the game. He knows, like, he reads the internet. You know, he's on social media. He sees it. And he said it, and he's right. You know, he said today, like, oh, power, power. And I do think it is always a little bit dangerous. I mean, when you go to his kickboxing background, when you think about that, it's not like he's never faced anybody with power. I mean, those dudes that he was facing in you know, the kickboxing world, like, those are just big, yoked-up, jacked dudes that know how to throw. So he's faced power. But I do want to see power and aggression in 4-ounce gloves. You know what I mean? Like I said, I just don't think you can set up at kickboxing range and be like, oh, let me slip your stuff, Izzy, and I'm about to watch what I'm about to bring.
Yeah.
No, you got to come at him. But that's what we thought Paulo Costa was going to do.
Yep.
And then, of course, you know, the red wine. We know how it goes, man. I'm not blaming you. You know, look, a couple of frosty beverages here
your
and there.
Your fight game goes out the window.
I was having trouble sleeping over there. I might have had a bottle or two of red wine. I just didn't have a championship fight the next day. But I think that's one of the reasons I am extra excited for this. Yes, I believe in Jared Cannonier. Yes, I believe that he's a challenge. But I believe there was a time where we thought we were going to get these kind of questions answered in the Paulo Costa fight, and we didn't get those questions
Jared needs to be all up in his business.
Yeah.
He needs to crowd him the whole entire fight and never let Izzy get distance and get range and get into that fight. He's got to keep Izzy either stepping back, trying to get that distance, and then I think he has a chance because then he never lets Izzy get loose, and then it becomes really exciting because then you're like, okay, maybe this is the answer for Izzy, is never give him the space to where he can use that length.
I mean, like,
you know?
I'm talking about at the opening bell.
Yeah.
Like, don't even, like, get in the opening bell and, like, set up and then hold on, let me work on my entry. I'm talking about, like, just rush forward and just get in his ass.
Don't take a knee to the face.
Hang on a minute.
Like,
sorry?
It's a different kind of thing happening. You know what I mean? I know I hate when people say that. I'm going to get all up in his ass. Like, ooh, really?
I'm coming, getting in his face, and I'm coming on that log.
Was it Aljamain Sterling who said something like that on an interview and then immediately realized what he said? But the thing with Jared Cannonier is he's coming down from heavyweight. He was heavyweight, light heavyweight, now middleweight, and he looks like an action figure.
I remember
when
he told us he was going to middleweight, and I was like,
yeah,
okay,
that's not good.
But this is a guy who he's used to taking shots from bigger, heavier guys. He's only been stopped by strikes twice in his career. One was by Sean Jordan, who was like a 265-pound fire hydrant of a man,
yes,
right?
He was.
And then you've got Dominic Reyes, big rangy striker, Dominic Reyes, who got lots of power himself. Israel Adesanya has the ability to knock people out, but he's not what you would call a one-shot knockout artist.
Right.
It's that precision.
Yes,
that
he's
speed
more,
and precision.
It's sort of death by a thousand cuts sort of approach. You know what I mean? He just dismantles people with his striking.
Yep.
So Jared Cannonier's chin could be a defining factor in this fight. You mentioned he's going to have to walk through some stuff.
Yep.
And if Izzy can't deter him, can't stop him, then he's going to potentially he's going to find himself on his back a few times in this fight, and we're going to see how well he can get up with a bigger, stronger, possibly heavier on fight night.
And that's kind
on top of him.
That's the exciting part,
that's
right? Because that's what
part.
We haven't
that's
seen.
The
we're
part.
Like, what happens when that happens?
We've seen it once before, and he lost that fight.
Yeah.
Against the light heavyweight, so it's going to be really interesting to see how this goes. I think a lot of the focus has been on Izzy's punches, but it's going to be I think the kicks are going to be the defining. If he can take Cannonier's legs out,
and
just stop that movement, it's going to make him an easier target to hit. It's going to make him a lot harder to shoot in and close the distance. He needs to basically stop these charges or these takedown attempts at source, and he needs to establish. I think you're going to see a lot of low kicking early. From Izzy. He's going to be a lot of lateral movement, a lot of low kicking, and then establish that. And if Cannonier can't make an impression in the first 2.5 minutes of that first round, I think he'll eventually go back to the corner at the end of that round and he's going to be hurting. And then you've got a wounded animal there, and then I think Izzy will start to go to work the second round onwards. I'm picking Izzy to win the fight.
I was going
to
say, I think it sounds like we're all unanimous because I'm picking Izzy
to lay out my final thoughts on that fight. I'm picking Izzy. I wouldn't lay -400. I don't like laying -400 on anybody. It's an MMA fight. Things get you can take a weird step and roll your ankle and have a TKO or something. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Who knows? You know,
yep.
I don't like laying -400 on anybody. So I'm picking Adesanya, but the fan in me in terms of my excitement, I think when those two guys get in the cage and the main event's about to start, I think you're gonna get that little whoo, you know what I mean? Like there's gonna be some tension, there's gonna be some electricity. So I'm excited for
What's the biggest selling point of mixed martial arts? If you strip everything down, what is the biggest selling point of mixed martial arts? There are so many ways to win and lose a fight. And what we have in here is Israel Adesanya facing a fighter who he hasn't faced before, someone who poses a different set of challenges, someone whose experience leading into this fight is very different to most middleweight contenders that you can look at in history. Started as a heavyweight, come down light heavyweight. He was competitive as a heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like he was a bust as a heavyweight.
Right.
He was a solid heavyweight.
He wasn't the action figure that he is now.
Correct.
But he was still competitive.
He was still competitive. Realized that he could actually get more out of himself by dropping the poundage, moving down. And now we've got a world championship contender on our hands who And his mindset is very interesting as well. He's stripping away all external noise, and it's all about it's not just another fight, it's a title fight. Yeah. Whenever anyone goes into a title fight and says it's just another fight, they're BSing you, right? Yeah. Even and I don't want to call Jared Cannonier a liar, but I think he was telling a few little fibs, right? This is a title fight. You can't treat it exactly the same. Extra rounds for a start, right? So the prep for it is different. But he's been stripping out all of the external noise. He's trying to keep everything the same. He's trying to keep that level-headed energy going in, not putting Izzy on a pedestal and saying, this is just another guy. I go in there and do what I want to do. I win the fight. Mm-hmm. And it's that level of, if that sort of bulletproof confidence that he seems to have can stay intact in the fight, things are going to get very interesting.
I love it. I'm excited for it. All right, let's talk about this co-main event. Again, I don't mean to be disrespectful of Alexander Volkanovski, who said he thought that a lot of people believe it's the main event. It is still a very big fight. It's an incredibly meaningful fight in terms of the history of the division, in terms of the all-time greats of the division. I love it. I will go ahead and out myself right now as somebody who says that, in case you didn't know, I scored both fights for Volkanovski. Close fight. I don't have a problem for anybody who says, the second one went to Holloway. I don't argue with that. I did score it for Volkanovski. So I do feel it's an incredibly competitive fight, an incredibly meaningful fight. It is. I think it loses a little luster when it's a trilogy that's 2-0 one way, but it's still a great fight. I think Kokavi, I think you kind of nailed it. Like, I'm not going to take away from Max Holloway, man. What Max Holloway has done and will continue to do. I believe Max Holloway has many good days ahead of him.
He still beats a lot of the guys in the division.
Oh, damn near everybody. I mean, look at what he did to get back here. And I respect the path that he got back here. Max didn't sit here and pout and be like, I won that fight. And you look at what I've done. You deserve to give me a trilogy. He's like, nope, I lost. Guess what? I'll go beat number two and number three, and then I'm number one again, right? And hell, let's respect Alexander Volkanovski for saying the same thing, right? Like, he could have been bad. Like, bro, I've already beat this cat twice. What do you want me to do, man? Like, we just keep giving him fights until he gets a chance to win. And I think he did say that at one point, which is funny. But ultimately, Max went out there and got two wins. Yep. And he's like, yeah, you're the number one contender. Let's do it again. So I respect both these guys for the path they've taken to get back here. I will say, though, and I think you touched on, man, to me – and I know there's a lot of Max Holloway fans, and so I'm definitely not trying to disrespect Max Holloway whatsoever. I do feel like Volkanovski is just kind of like on that different level right now. I mean, I feel like this dude is in the prime of prime, and he's had 10 rounds with Max Holloway. He understands, man. That's 50 minutes of data that he's been able to absorb. And sure, Max is going to be a little bit different. He's going to make adjustments, all those things. But I believe that Volkanovski just understands him and has done what it takes to win the fight. And I like Volkanovski here.
Yeah, I mean, and you clearly Max is one of the most beloved fighters in the world. And it's like you're going to get hate regardless. If you don't pick Max, you're going to get hate. Somebody's going to hate on you.
Got to love the daddest man on the planet.
And that's a whole other reason to love this dude. I mean, like, how can you not love Max Holloway and his work ethic and what he's put into? And you know what you're going to get out of a fight of him. I mean, when he's feeling himself, he's out there moving. He's dancing. He's talking smack. I mean, everything about it is just incredible.
What he did to Cater was just ridiculous.
It was just ridiculous. I mean, and Cater's an absolute stud of a fighter. I mean, it's just – again, I mean, like, who knows? I mean, like we always say, there's always a puncher's chance, and this could be the day that maybe Volkanovski isn't feeling right and Max shows up. I mean, I just don't think – I mean, Alexander has proven that him and his team behind him, they're so damn good. They don't make mistakes. They don't come in unprepared. And the way that Alex has always carried himself, he's not the kind of guy, even that he's beaten you twice, he's not going to take it easy on fight camp. He's not going to do one bit less than everything that he had to do to get to the top. And right now, at his current level and knowing that he's coming here and giving anything, I mean, there's nobody in that division that I don't think loses to him. As much as I love Max, as much as I want Max to always be at the top of the division, I just don't think anybody can beat Volkanovski right now the way that he's fighting. And that's no offense to Max, because I'd rather hang out with Max in the evening than Alex, because Alex seems like he's all business, even though those guys
clearly
look like
the
they would
way
be a
to
lot
pick
of fun.
A fight is who I'd want to be. That's who I'd rather hang out with, so I'm picking him.
You know, but I don't know. I mean, it's going to be an incredible fight, and it is interesting. I mean, the fact that it is a trilogy, this is one of those fights where some people could say, why are we seeing this again? This is still a story of two of the best fighters in the division, and the fact that there was some controversy. I'm, like you, thought both fights were scored the right way. I thought Max did a better job of it, but I certainly wasn't upset about it. But if it did go the other way, I wouldn't have been mad either, because I thought that second fight was just incredible. I thought Max just really showed just a lot of heart and just a lot of character. But I just don't – I can't go against the champ knowing what the champ's been doing, you know. I mean, it's almost –
that streak that he's on is insane.
It's just ridiculous.
21 fight win streak.
Insane. I don't care who you're fighting.
Yeah.
21 in a row? I don't care who you're fighting.
Yeah.
You
don't
slip up.
It's nuts. But, I mean, like you said, anything can happen. I just – I don't see it happening in this one.
I think I'll put my cards on the table first off. I scored the second fight for Max Holloway. I thought Holloway didn't have to win that second fight. Super close fight. Yep. Super close fight. And I think the fact that, other than the pair of you guys, actually, almost everybody else I've spoken to this week also said that they scored the fight for Holloway. So that gives you an idea that there's a fair split of opinion when it comes to how that fight panned out. I'm picking Alexander Volkanovski. Mm. I think he's the better mixed martial artist. I think if it was just a pure stand-up fight, Max Holloway wins. I think Max Holloway is, in pure sort of MMA boxing terms, I don't think there's anybody to touch him at 145 pounds. I think he's the absolute top of the tree.
Yeah, when his hands are on, nobody can touch
him. Yeah, and we saw it against Cater, right? The way he just dismantled that man.
That's ridiculous.
With ease as well. It looked like he was barely putting in an effort. You know, he was doing no-look punches and everything.
That was so ridiculous.
That's literally one of the craziest highlights we've ever seen in all of the UFC.
Yeah, that's literally like you just took your dick out. You're swinging like, bitch, look at this.
Yeah.
Look
at this. Against the number three guy in the world. Against the number three guy
in the
world.
It was so sick.
So to do that, I mean, that's why Max is in this fight.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, I think Alexander Volkanovski wins this fight, and I think he wins it because he has the ability to mix things up. He can win the fight on the mat. He can win the fight in the stand up, and the ability to transition between those phases is going to be what keeps Max on his toes. This is not just going to be 25 minutes of people throwing punches at each other. Yeah. If it was, I'd be leaning towards Max, but it's not, 'cause it's an MMA fight. So, that said, let me play devil's advocate just a little bit. You mentioned that during the media day, Alexander Volkanovski, the fact that he acknowledged that Max Holloway was the worthy guy to be in this fight.
Right.
There was a caveat to that. He said, this is the biggest fight I can get right now. That's basically what
he said.
I
didn't hear that part. That's funny.
I wrote this up just before we came over. He basically said, this is the biggest fight I can take right now. And the two words were, right now.
Right now,
okay?
Yeah.
And then about the last 2-4 minutes of that media day session that he had was him talking about fighting at lightweight.
Right.
And make no mistake, this is a man who has already decided what he's doing after this fight.
Oh, yes.
Right? And MMA is, it can be a cruel mistress sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You start putting plans in place, things can go a little bit pear-shaped. So you mentioned Alexander Volkanovski is the most professional athlete you can meet. He isn't arrogant.
But maybe that was cracking the facade.
He isn't a complacent man. He's not an arrogant man. He doesn't look like a guy who cuts corners. But he has got, just maybe not in one eye, just peripheral vision off to the side.
A little bit, yep.
This fight's at 155 pounds. And potentially, he wants to be a two-division champ. To be a two-division champ, you've got to deal with Max Holloway first. And he did say that. But then he went on and talked about lightweight for 5 minutes. So, just bear that in mind when he's in there, because
true.
I say this as someone who's picking Volkanovski to win the fight. I always get a little bit wary when people start talking about their plans after the fight that they've got. And it's not like, now if he was saying this before the Korean Zombie fight, okay, fine. Before any of the other title defense, but this is Max Holloway we're talking about. If you take Volkanovski out of that division, Max Holloway is head and shoulders above everybody else at 145 pounds, right? So this is the one guy in the division who has a chance of dethroning him, in my opinion.
Now, all right, let me play devil's advocate to your
devil's advocate.
Whoa. Yeah. Oh, here we go.
But you're 100%.
Angel's advocate.
Because what you're saying is 100% right. You're dead on, but it did make me think, okay, first of all, the only reason you talked about it is because we're like, by the way, once you win on Saturday night, what's next, right? And then we always say, like, I can't believe this dude didn't have a call out ready. Or I can't believe this dude didn't have, you know, he gets on the mic. You're supposed to know what your next step is. You're supposed to have a call out ready.
He's a champion of the world, John. He doesn't need to do that.
Okay.
They call him out.
Fair.
He's the guy that gets called out. You line him up, son. I'll knock him down, right? That's how this works. Now, this is different because all of a sudden, he wants to start stretching himself, but he did say he wants to stay at 45. That was your question.
He wants to play. Like, you know, are there still things there? You know,
still
like,
business,
you know,
to be
still business to be there. You know,
and the other thing, and this is going to sound incredibly harsh on Josh Emmett. Josh Emmett is, I think, the general consensus is that he's probably the next guy in line. Right, he's going to be cage side on Saturday night. Whoever wins this fight, and I know Max Holloway, I think has probably been thinking about
moving
up to 55.
Did he ever get those cage side seats?
I don't know.
I know he was pushing for it, but I don't know if he ever got that yes from D-Dubs.
He's on Ticketmaster hitting refresh right now.
But, that's it. I got row 12 for you. It's in the – I ain't got anything on the aisle. It's in the middle. You kind of – but I got two seats with one person in between, but maybe you can ask him to switch.
But if you win this fight and you've got the option of – potentially moving up and challenging for a title at 155 and becoming a two-division champion, or you say, no, I'm going to stick around and fight Josh Emmett in my next fight. With all due respect to Josh Emmett, who has earned his keep, right? I remember him, I think he might have had his UFC debut in Rotterdam. I remember him showing up in Rotterdam. I think he had his debut there.
He did, if I remember right.
We were talking to him, and lovely guy, didn't have any inkling at that point that he was going to become a world title challenger. All we knew at that point is he was a really tough guy at Team Alpha Male. That's all we knew. He's had a great run, and now he's on the verge of a shot at the title. But I think even if he is next in line, he's probably going to have to wait, because arguably, unless Max Holloway wins, I think he's going to have to sit for a bit.
It's possible. And I will say, to Volkanovski's credit, he did mention Josh Emmett today.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
But he then, you know, also mentioned Yair and Ortega. He also mentioned numerous fights at 155, and he did say, I want to fight. And you can't blame him for this. He said, I mean, he was very clear about it. He's like, look, I can't fight forever. I'm trying to make as much money as I can. And I want the names that everybody's screaming, right? That everybody's saying, that's the guy he has to fight. And to your point, God bless Josh Emmett, man. Tough competitor, incredible fighter, great run. But, you know, when he the other night said, you know, I want that next shot, the reaction I saw wasn't like, yeah, it has to be. It was like, well, maybe. Let's see.
I mean, you're near.
Let's see what happens with Ortega here first, and we'll go for there. And I guess, you know, from that perspective, like, Emmett probably would want Ortega to win, because if Ortega smoked Yair, maybe that would be enough. Ortega's pretty marketable, but I would think if Ortega wins, you're like, well, we saw that. So, you know, I mean, it was a great fight, though. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe Emmett could squeeze in.
Yeah, the one thing to put a bow on these two title fights, and, you know, we're talking about what might be next for Volkanovski if he wins, and we're talking about which weight class he might potentially be fighting in. What I really do want to see, if we get Ann Still in both the title fights this weekend, I want to see both those guys booked on the same fight card in Australia and put a big card down, because the sport is going crazy over in Australia and in New Zealand, but particularly Australia, where, you know, there's a big market for it down there now. They've got a champion who, if he wins on Saturday night, is going to be on a 22 fight win streak. He will have cleaned out his division virtually. He will have beaten the next best guy in the division three times in a row. He's done everything. He needs to be fighting on home soil. They need to be really, really pushing, and he's a pound for pound star. No, if you're ranking the best fighters on the planet, those two guys are probably in the top 3 or 4 pound for pound, right?
Yep.
And victories on Saturday night are only gonna strengthen that. They need to be on a big card in Australia. I can hear Mark Fellows in my ear cheering and going, come on!
Yeah, I mean, that's
but,
it. I mean,
but yeah, it's true. They need to put a big... If these two guys both win, mind you, even if they both lose, put them both on a big card, get them down there, and put a big show on down there. It's been a long time for those guys down there as well.
Yeah, I mean, they deserve to be able to defend their belts, you know, or like you said, just be able to fight down there.
Yeah.
And as a reward to the Aussies and the New Zealand guys, like, those guys are fucking beasts. They eat up MMA. Mm-hmm. We know from just – years that we've been able to go there, those guys travel better than anywhere else, and those guys are just crazy. I mean, because one side of Australia to the other is like a huge, huge travel, and then they go all around to do it, and then they come to the States to watch
events. The fight started at 9:30 in the morning. They're already hammered. I mean, just hammered for the first prelim. I'm like, oh, I love you guys.
It's unreal. I mean, so yeah, I mean,
Coke
obviously
likes
these
to roll
guys
down there just so we can drop C-bombs the whole time.
Oh yeah. I mean, like, they travel so well. I mean, so for these guys, they deserve it. I mean, to reach the pinnacle that they have, they and now that the world's opened up more and the U.S. has made it a lot easier to come to and fro, they deserve to be able to go fight over there. And there's no doubt that any arena wouldn't sell out over there, and it would just be incredible. And I think it would be really cool to see that crowd embrace their own in their country.
That would be pretty badass.
And that'd be pretty sick.
All right, let's talk about this featured fight between Sean Strickland and Alex Bejeda. And before we do, let's just go ahead and share the audio of Sean Strickland today. I'm going to say, if by any chance you've seen this, feel free to skip ahead about 18 minutes or so.
If you're at work,
if you're at work, throw in the headphones. Throw in the headphones. Definitely NSFW, okay?
Times 100.
Definitely. I mean, might not be safe for – you know, it's funny because, like, afterwards, everybody was like, I heard somebody – I can't remember who it was. Maybe it was Amy Kaplan was saying, like, I don't think he was that bad today. And I was like, well, I think it's just because you're used to Sean Strickland at this point.
You're desensitized
now. Yeah, exactly. You're like, it's like when your racist uncle shows up over the house. Like, I wasn't that bad today. Like, he was saying some racist shit.
He was okay today.
Yeah, you're like, no, he was – no, you're used to him.
If you want to get fired from work, just take the earbuds out, put it on speakers, and job will be accomplished after this.
But I just think you have to experience this because – it is the most off the rails. Like, at one point, and I don't know if the mics picked it up or whatever, but it's like, what are we doing right now? I just couldn't. I literally voiced that out loud because I literally thought, what are we doing right now? It was crazy.
It was just a comedy show at that point.
Sean rolls in and he's already roasting people right off the start. Right,
he went down our whole line. He said I looked like I was sleepy. I just rolled out
he's
of
like,
bed.
Looks like you just rolled out of bed. I respect that. You know what I mean? Yeah, it's your back. It's just roasting people, and I mean literally, you know. And Sean always talks about he's a fighter and there's nothing else he can do. I think he can do stand-up. Now, I don't know how long he can do stand-up comedy because he might get canceled pretty quick.
Yeah.
But I think, you put him on an Adam Hunter show just doing crowd work, he's savage.
Yeah.
He's absolutely savage. So let's play this audio. If you've seen it, you can skip forward about 18 minutes. We'll get to it. If you haven't, I implore you, just stick through it all because this man, I don't know if I'm going to say he's a treasure, but he's unique. Sean Strickland.
So I'll just come out and say it, man. I've been training hard, ready to knock this guy out, training with kickboxers, and I'm ready.
We thought you were going to keep the roast going up there, man.
No, I seen Sean O'Malley, fucking clown. No, I actually like Sean O'Malley, but, like, how do you let a dude tattoo a fucking name on you? Get him on, dude. Do you fucking hold his pocket? Anyway, sorry.
He was just saying nice things about you
Sean, no, again, the thing about Sean O'Malley, man, like, I can't hate on the fucking guy because he's probably making a fuck ton of money. And, like, he just fucking gets a face tattoo, you know, he hangs out with fucking losers, and he's probably making more than I make. It's fucked up, but it's his life.
Maybe it's a path to follow.
I know, fuck, man. No tattoos for this guy. I don't need any distinguishing marks if I commit a crime at some point in my life.
See, that's smart thinking right there.
All right, let's get this bitch going. Come on, guys. I'm ready. Let's go.
But, you know, back in front of a crowd, I mean, sold out T-Mobile Arena, International Fight Week. I mean, I know this is just a job for you, but, I mean, is it special? Is it a different feeling than any other fight?
No. No, wait. Let me try again. No, I'm so excited, man. This is the biggest opportunity of my life. I can't fucking wait. I finally made it. The big show. Look at this. All these people here having to fucking put up with me. I made it. Nah, man. I mean, I'm just another fucking day. Go in there, fight, make money. It's cool.
Alex, obviously a dangerous guy, you know, proven in kickboxing, but not necessarily the track record in MMA. Did you feel like he was...
Big, scary Brazilian, man. We could all say it. The guy's massive. I walked him like, fuck, man, I'm going to walk away again. Nah, I don't. I mean, isn't he the current glory champion?
I believe so.
Well, I mean, I know he lost, but I think by default, they took all their belts. So does that default him back to the champion?
Okay, I think so. Yeah.
Fucking glory cowards. Anyway, sorry. I shouldn't say it.
Did you feel like he? I mean, did you feel like he deserved this opportunity against you? I mean, he hasn't paid as many dues in the UFC as you have.
Dude, if we learn anything about UFC rankings, mean nothing. I mean, at the end of the day, like, it means nothing. He's the one that knocked out Izzy, so it's like, here's what you can do. You could have him go, and then he'll eventually fight a wrestler who will take him down and beat him, and then they'll never get the Izzy shot. Or they could be like, you know, hey, why don't we have him fight Sean? Sean doesn't like to wrestle. Maybe if he beats him, then we could float him to the top. So this is literally purely just a ploy by the UFC, putting him against someone who likes to strike, to potentially get him an Izzy shot. So UFC, I applaud you, but I might fucking wrestle.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, do you play a lot? Because you're, of course, you're absolutely right in your evaluation, but it would seem to be the easy route would be like, I'm just going to do nothing but wrestle for 100%. I mean, could you do that?
Here's the thing, man. Here's the fucking thing. Let me tell you guys something. There's not one glory fucking kickboxer in any fucking weight class that I couldn't stand and bang with. So don't fucking tell me just because you're some big fucking Brazilian you knocked out Izzy 20 years ago that fucking I can't stand with you. Come on, motherfucker. Get out of here.
You know the storyline of them trying to put it together without Adesanya rematch, but yeah, you win. I mean, Izzy, number one contender fight for you as well?
Fucking Izzy's probably in his hotel room right now watching fucking anime. I want to be the next anime. Fucking Izzy. No, but yeah, of course, dude. Like, fucking, yeah, let's go. By the way, I think I'm going to be at the press conference, and I can't curse. So I need to try to, like, I need to try to tone my shit down. You know, I can't say fuck. Can I say fuck here? I can say here, but not the press conference.
I mean, it's kind of the same thing.
All right, let's be fucking better, Sean. Be a fucking professional. Let's get sponsored. Let's get some endorsements. Come on, fucking Nike. What do you want me to do? Want me to vote for fucking Biden? I got you. All right, sorry, let's continue.
Well, I guess last thing for me, I mean, your thoughts on this fight as far as how it plays out. I mean, as you said, it looks like it could potentially be a banger, but yeah, maybe not such an exciting fight would be the smarter route. So what kind of fight do you think we see?
You know, man, I don't even know what the fuck I'm going to do. I never walk into the plan. I'm going to go in there, oh, man, that's a serious fucking cowboy hat that man has. Can we just acknowledge this guy's big fucking cowboy hat? That's interesting. Anyway, sorry. Fucking distracting me. But, no, man, I mean, we'll find out. I don't really go in a game plan. I mean, obviously, if I go in there and he starts fucking hurting me, yeah, I'm going to take the coward's way out and try to wrestle. But, like, you know, hopefully I could stand and bang with this gigantic, scary fucking Brazilian.
Sean, I'm just curious. Who came to you and said you shouldn't swear at the press conference?
You know, man, like, here's the thing about, like, when you're owned by Disney. Because ESPN's owned by Disney, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, dude, I don't want to get Gina Carano'd. Like, I want to walk the line, bro. Like, where's my LGBTQTZR shirt? Like, you know, like, I mean, do we have any more letters added to this fucking thing? Like, I don't want to get banned. Dude. I want some sponsors, Nike. Give me a fucking flag, you guys. I'll carry this motherfucker around. Let's go. I say offensive shit, dude. I can't help it, you know. At the end of the day, you guys know I love the gays. You guys know I love the fucking gays. You want to fucking, you know,
I heard that.
Yeah, I fucking love bi women. They're the best thing ever. Greatest thing, you know. You guys all fucking love it. Anyways, I'm not racist. I don't have anything against fucking trannies or trans. I don't know if you can say. I don't have anything against anybody. You want to cut your fucking dick off, call yourself Susie? Hell, I'll call you Susie. I don't have anything against anybody. So if I say something that offends you, I'm fucking joking. Calm down. Relax your fucking panties. It's going to be okay.
Sean over here.
This fucking guy. I like this guy. Aren't you Canadian?
I am, yes.
Let's fucking go. I actually like Canadian women. They're very liberal. Liberal in the best ways.
You got to train an American top team. I was curious why you chose there, of all places, to go train. And what was the connection? How did you end up training there?
So Johnny Eblem, he just beat Gegard Mousasi. I wanted to help him for Gegard, but I really went there for Artem Levin. He beat my opponent pretty decisively. And we used to train when I was a kid. He used to be kind of a bully to me when I was a kid, so I wanted to run that shit back. But yeah, I pretty much just went there to help Johnny, who fucking looked amazing, and then to train with Artem Levin.
You met Kayla Harrison. What was that exchange like?
Oh, dude, she's fucking insane. She's insane, man. Like she's fucking cool, but, like, you know who she reminds me of? You guys ever watched Super Troopers? Officer Favreau. Like, she just walks in the room like, hey, what up, fuckers? And me and the guys are sitting there like, oh, shit, that just happened. But, you know, I talk a lot of shit on Kayla, but once she lets her guard down, you know, it's like she's pretty sweet. And you got to understand, like, I've never said one good thing about Kayla. And, you know, most you guys, the media, like, we're all cunts. We all make fun of her, you know. We all fucking do it. So I understand that she's in a world that, like, she's so used to being attacked that, like, sometimes you got to, like, you know, pretend like you got a dick and, like, be a little bit more aggressive than you should. So I take some responsibility in that. Sorry, Kayla. You're all right. You're a good person. I like you.
And do you have a pick in the main event between Adesanya and Cannonier? Who do you see winning that?
Oh, fuck, dude. I don't know, man. Who fucking knows these days? Who's the favorite?
Adesanya is a big favorite.
Yeah. I mean, who fucking knows, dude? Do you know? Who do you think's going to win?
Adesanya, I think.
Oh, fucking A.
Just last one for me.
Yeah, but you watch anime, too, you fucking...
I don't watch anime, but it's all good. Nothing okay. against that. The last question, you're good buddies with Chris Curtis.
Yeah,
shit. There was a point where he, you know, wasn't on the UFC's radar. Now he's in. He got another big win last week. How happy were you for him? Because you guys are good buddies.
Oh, man, I just want the guy to make money, you know? Like, you don't want to fucking... This is the thing that sucks about MMA. Like you could spend your whole life to this MMA and make jack shit with money, and the next thing you know, welcome to fucking Walmart. So it's nice to see actually Kurt having a future and won't be contemplating suicide at some point, because there was a point in his life when you know, he was fucking up all these guys that were getting signed. But he'd beat guys that would get signed where I had to, like, bring him down. I'm like, Kurt, like, don't do it, man. Don't fucking do it. So I'm happy for him that he's getting a shot. And he is one of the hardest working guys in the fucking gym. I mean, he spars every day. He was, after his fight, he was back in there Monday helping me out and helping guys out. Kurt's the man. He trains his ass off and he fucking deserves it. And he should have got it a lot sooner.
Sean, back here. You mentioned, back to your left.
Back to my left.
Yeah, you mentioned about
man, the... Man, you're all the way back there. Is that because you're low on the totem pole, or is it...
I mean, what could I do? I can only move up, right?
Yeah. What's with the guys in the fancy suits? How do they get up there? What's the deal with you guys? Are you a guy? Why do you guys get front? He's all the way the fuck back there.
Mike is more than welcome to come all the way back up here.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate that very much.
But... Okay, just checking, dude. Just checking. These fucking guys watch anime. Look at that. You know they got anime stickers on their Subaru. You fucking know it. You fucking know it. What kind of car you drive, bro?
Just a Mazda.
Ah, I guarantee you got an anime sticker on there.
I do not.
Oh, okay. That's some respectable. All right, sorry, man. I'm just fine with you. You know, I actually watched when I was a kid Avatar: The Last Airbender. Good fucking anime, man. Aang was the fucking man. So you know, I can't talk that much shit. Anyways, back to you, sir. What's up?
Well, it's good to be be recognized here.
So in the way fucking back, you don't want me to come down there.
I'll stand on the chair if you need me to, Sean.
Nah, that's all good, dude. I got you.
But I'm curious, when you found out you were gonna be at the press conference, how did you initially react to that?
Oh man, fuck. Don't say anything gay. Don't say anything homophobic, racist. Like, it just, there's a lot of boxes that I gotta fucking check, you know? And you guys all fucking know me. Like, that's not who I am, but I just start talking, and next thing I knew, I'm making fun of the fucking Mazda kid with the fucking anime addiction. I can't fucking help it, dude. I can't fucking help it. Fuck, man. And the guy next to him, he doesn't even fucking know what he's doing here, man. Where's your fucking tie? Why are you letting him outdress you? Anyways, I just can't say anything fucking, I just can't say anything fucked up. So that's my goal. And if I do, you guys, you got to give me a pass. You got to give me a pass. I'm a white trash, dropped out of high school, man. I'm not quite socialized. I don't get out much. So this is actually the most this is the most social interaction I've ever got. You guys are forced to be my friends, forced to like me. It's nice. All you motherfuckers just standing mad. I hope this motherfucker just gets knocked out so I never have to see this guy again.
So I'm also curious, on top of that, if you win this fight, it's probably a number one contender fight. You get a title shot. How would you describe what a Sean Strickland title reign would look like?
Oh, my God. Fuck, man. You know, that's why I'd want to be a champion, just to bring it down. You know, like, you have all these, like good champions. They're like, you know, they carry themselves so well. They pretend they're not a bunch of fucking caveman, barbaric losers. And I just want to be, a champion just to let you guys all know that we're all a bunch of fucking losers that hit people in the face, you know? I'm not going to be a Sean O'Malley with the fucking double watches and the gay face tattoo and, like, I just want to be the people's champion, you know? Like the guy that you meet at a bar that's complaining about fucking Biden. That's me. I'm just a people. I'm a guy. I'm a guy like you guys. Or you know, girls, depending on what gender you choose to be.
Hi, Sean. All the way back here.
Yeah, all the way back there, dude. I got you. Man, and you're recording from a fucking cell phone, dude. We got to have a conversation about your setup.
I know, right? So you get paid.
Bro, you can come up here if you want, man. You want to join me? Let's. How many followers you got on Instagram?
94,000.
94,000? More than me. What's your name?
Chris.
From where?
Well, I work with MiddleEasy.com and MMA Island.
Okay, MMA, I know this fucking guy. He's always twisting my tweets and giving me fucking, hey, is that you? Is that fucking you? Oh, man, yeah, you need to come sit by me, man. And the funny thing is, I always talk shit on him, but it's things I'm saying. So like he'll post something and like I get so much heat. I'm like, fuck this organization. And I'm like, Sean, you're the one that said it, you fucking idiot.
Just one question for me. What did you make of Kevin Holland stopping his fourth crime in a row before his last fight?
I don't fucking know, man. Kevin Holland's a fucking girl. I mean, yeah, good for him, man. Like, fucking way to be a good guy. Way to be a fucking superhero, Kevin Holland. Fucking, do you want a brownie? You want a fucking award? Yeah, no, he's doing the right thing, man. Good job. That's the only thing I can say that, I had nothing to say to that dude.
Yeah, Sean,
I would probably like him more if he was on committing the crime, but, you know, whatever.
Right. Hey, Sean, back here, another one of the back row guys.
I don't even know where you. Oh shit, dude, you're behind the pink shirt guy.
Exactly.
Now, why are you so far back? Where are you from? Tell me where you're from.
Cage Side Press.
Cage Side Press. That sounds official. Well, who's more popular? You or MMA Island? Dropped out of high school. This motherfucker just hits a repost button. You probably actually have to do your job. But continue.
It really sucks some days, man. I ain't gonna lie to you.
Yeah, no, you're regretting this choice.
Oh, heck no. Sean, I want to know, when sponsors talk to you, what do they ask you?
When sponsors talk to me, who the fuck, what?
Like, have you ever had them just straight up say, Sean, you need to stop or we're not going to pay you?
I've just accepted that I'm not going to get fucking paid. You know what? I'll give somebody a free shout out. Fucking, what's that one, like, dog Bitcoin everybody's about? You know what I'm talking about.
The Marshallinho?
Yeah, and every asshole fighter standing up there like, this is the best thing ever. This guy's helped me, made me so much fucking money. I love this. And meanwhile, they don't fuck about Bitcoins. They actually hit me up for a sponsor. And, you know, I just like, end of the day, man, I don't like fucking Bitcoins. I don't fucking, you know, it's tanking, it's shit. Like, why am I going to go peddle some shit that, like, I don't believe in? So until someone makes some, like, white trash fucking brand, you want to give me a trailer company, man? I've been looking, there's some good trailers. No, so I just, it's hard for me to, like, get sponsors with shit I don't believe in, you know? And so, are you a crypto guy?
Yeah. Heck no.
Smart man. I bet this guy's a fucking crypto guy with his Mazda. What kind of Mazda you got, bro? Is it Miata? Oh, shit, yeah, no. I actually like the Mazda. How many horsepower you got? Like, 180? Oh, this fucking guy doesn't even fuck about cars, man. All right, anyways. Sorry, man. Did I answer your question? Yeah, sponsors don't fucking come to me. But if anybody knows any sponsors, man, like, fucking, I like money. You know, I only got a couple more, few more years left in the sport. So if you guys want to give me money, fucking let's go.
What would be your most ideal sponsor, Sean?
Oh, man, fuck. Well, who said that? Oh, this fucking guy. This man, I like your beard, bro. If you can't grow hair, you grow a fucking beard. And that man fucking accomplished that. I like that. He's in shape. Some TRT.
I just wanted you to make fun of me.
Yeah. You know, I make fun of myself so much, so it's so easy. I don't fucking know, man. Be like a gun company, a fucking motorcycles, fucking any stereotypical white trash hobby that you could think a white male would do, that would probably be something I'm interested in, you know?
Yeah. Do you have a filter on anything?
Oh, fuck, man. I don't know, dude. No, not at all. I don't know. Where are you from, dude? Where are you from?
Utah.
Okay, you're a good-looking guy. He's probably one of the better-looking guys in here without hair. I like that guy. He has good... What do you... You work out?
A little bit.
Are you Mormon?
Yes.
Oh, you got a couple wives, huh? I respect that.
I'm working on the second.
I respect that. Oh, you really are Mormon, huh? Uh-huh. Oh, you ready to get your own planet?
Well, working on that, too.
Are there any red people in here? You know, the Christ come in... Why are Indians red? Because there... Isn't there some weird story? I'm not going to make fun of religion, bro.
I know
you're in a cult. I don't need to make fun of you.
So, one other question. What's the best thing Biden's doing right now for the country?
Oh, my God. Biden. Fucking Biden, dude. Give me a fucking break. You know, let me go on a rant real quick. A rant real fucking quick about America. That's why, like, I'm not a huge American fan, right? Like, you assholes with all this inflation. Let's just say, like, and this is why if you're trying to buy a house, fucking Mazda, man, you're about that time where you need to start trying to, like, you know, get a fucking wife, have a couple kids. All that inflation does with Biden, you let people like me or other people money, they go and buy these fucking houses. So a little Mazda kid can't do it. And we're like, oh, no, inflation. All inflation does is make their $1 million fucking loans that they get devalued, and they raise your fucking rent for that. Like, Don't even start on fucking Biden and America, man. I'm the most patriotic fucking guy there is, but I can't love America and I can't like America, because if I fucking liked America, I'd be a fucking radical fucking terrorist. I'd be running down here with the 1776 flag saying, let's fucking go. So it's easier just to be like, yeah, let's go Biden. Let's go Biden.
Sean, just right here, to bring it back to actual fight talk, you said...
Oh, yeah, fight talk. Is that what we're here for?
You said you don't like the fact that people say maybe you can't hang with the striking of Pereira given his background. What do you...
He's not even a good striker, bro. Like, what is Pereira? Like, fuck, dude. The only reason to do that is because you're fucking tall, man. You're genetically gifted. If you were a normal-sized fucking human being, you wouldn't even fucking be here. Your style sucks.
So what do you think your style, why is your style so much better?
Because I'm not a fucking genetically gifted fucking, I'm a fat, fucking outish, fat, I got a fucking gut, man. I actually have to learn to fight. I just can't be like 80-inch reach, fucking 80-inch reach head kick. Like, fuck, dude. I actually learned how to fucking fight. Now he pulls his fucking camera. Now I'm sitting down. Anyways.
I wasn't expecting you to get up like that.
Yeah, fuck, man. You get me all worked up talking about fucking Biden with the Mormon. I'm fucking angry.
Thanks, Sean.
All right, are we good now? Are we good?
One more for me. What about bisexual women speaks out to you?
Wait, who said that?
Over here.
Can I get some drink? Oh, this fucking guy, dude. Don't you fucking start with me. I don't want to be on one of your fucking clips, dude. Get the fuck out of here. I'm not even answering that MMA Island.
Thank you.
All right, that's all she wrote. Da, 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 da. All right, guys. Anyways, it has been fun. You guys are all awesome. If I offended you, I'm sorry. Don't be such a pussy.
All right, so we could sit here probably all afternoon and talk about breaking down word for word what Sean did. I'm just going to say... I don't want to do that. I just want to say that that was probably the craziest media scrum I've ever been a part of. Now, there may have been some over the years that I'm not remembering, and so somebody maybe hit me up with some crazy ones. But as far as, recency bias and all that, that had to be one of the craziest ones.
I've just pulled up my WhatsApp because I was messaging you during this, and I just the first one just had three words on it: off. The rails.
Off
that
the
was
rails.
It. Off the rails.
Off the rails.
Because at that point, he'd hijacked the whole proceedings, right? I mean, everyone was just sitting around just waiting to be roasted. Security Steve was standing off to the side doing his best not to piss himself laughing.
Security Steve, and I'm not going to use his name too much and say too many bad things because I'll end up missing. But no, it was funny. Like, you could see he had his hand over his mouth. Mm-hmm. He was just trying to, like, control himself a little
bit.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I completely, completely off the rails. And some of the stuff was, to say it was close to the knuckle would be an understatement. Some of it was flat out funny, like the stuff where he wasn't talking about marginalized communities and things like that, where he got a bit tricky. Some of the other stuff where he was just roasting some of the members of the press, I thought was very good.
I do too.
And yeah. I, as a member of the press, I approve of that. Right. I think as members of the press, we should be prepared to take a little bit of stick, provided it's allowed to come back in kind without repercussion, because they could kick the crap out of us. And I don't particularly want that.
I mean, it's funny. We've heard him in the past, but like that was the best session in terms of him just like saying his jokes and have them resonate and be funny. Because he's tried in other ones, and it was like, oh, you're trying so hard, Sean. Right. You're trying so hard. It was like he practiced a routine. It was so good. But you're right. I mean, there is something to the fact that we've seen Sean do this over and over, that for us, for me, I won't lie, it was. I thought a lot of it was just absolutely hilarious. But in the back of my mind, I was like, wow, for a lot of the people that haven't seen this in person, I could see their wheels just like, oh my God, this is, am I now obligated that I have to write something and do whatever? It's like, bro, I get it, because we've already been through that same hurdles internally as well, where people have jumped over and said, okay, well, now we have to say this, or now we have to do this. And it's easy enough to do that, But, like Dana would love to say on these sort of things, they're fighters. They're cage fighters. What do you expect, But there is something to the fact that his delivery, and he was just so at ease doing it. And I think that's why it felt funny and got a good laugh, because it just – he was firing on all cylinders. I mean, Was it probably wrong to say a lot of the shit? Sure.
Yeah.
But was it funny? Yeah. You know, is it wrong for us to say it was funny and acknowledge it being funny? I guess so. But it was. It was funny. And I loved the part when he kept going off on the different media. And I don't even know the guy, the Mazda kid that he was yelling at. I think it was an international media guy coming
in. That might
be
his first trip to Vegas. Can you imagine?
It was literally hilarious.
It's like, what have I done?
And, you know, but it was good. I mean, Sean did it. He kept the kid gloves on. He could have went a lot harder, you know, towards the kid. But it was cool, man.
It was. If I can say the word playful, when he was roasting the members of the media, he was doing it with a smile on his face and a twinkle in his eye, right?
Yeah.
Like, to anybody who doesn't know Sean Strickland or know anything about him and had just watched this from minute one, they'd have been like, "Wow, okay, this is kind of full on," but. I think, and also there was some interesting stuff that came out of that. It was almost sort of under the radar stuff. I love the fact he was talking about Chris Curtis and how they're good friends and all the rest of it. I actually met Chris Curtis yesterday at Extreme Couture. I had a really good chat with him.
Yeah.
Absolutely top guy. Someone who's finally getting his chance, right? Yeah. And that was something that I thought that was a lovely little moment that he spent like a good minute or so.
A lot of respect.
Really just making the point that Curtis was someone who was fighting guys, beating them, and then the guys he was beating were getting called up to the UFC, and he was just giving him some props, which I thought that was great. And Curtis is the sort of guy that anybody who meets and talks to him and watches him fight, they're a fan of him because he's just one of those kind of fighters. And the other thing that struck me, and that might account for why he was quite as animated as he was, I think the amount of people in the room may have made him a little bit nervous.
Mm.
And I think he might have been compensating for a little bit of nerves.
Definitely the first time
walking into a room with about 100 media members in it,
yeah,
in a much bigger setting than he's ever dealt with before. Bear in mind, we've had the pandemic era where you've had probably 3 or 4 outlets tops.
His last media day there, right? In the Apex, there was probably 4 or 5.
Yeah.
Right.
Probably 4 or 5 of us.
He walks out through a curtain and there's 100 people sitting there, yeah, and about a dozen cameras pointing in his face.
That was very cool. That was very cool for the fighters because they haven't had that in a long time.
No.
And through no fault of us, we show up. We're there. But, I mean, it's just unfortunate for some cards people don't. Today, for that point, was probably one of the coolest things to see fighters actually come out and be like, wow, this is like a proper media day. Like, this is awesome.
Yep.
You know, like, I wish more were like that. Even when we're at downtown or even at the T-Mobile, you can't quite get the gist because the media is all separated.
Mm-hmm.
You have the people in the front, and then you got us in the way, way back riser. So in that sense, it was very impressive. And for the fighters, that probably was one of the first events where they felt like they were in a big show.
How it used to be.
Yeah, how it used to be. Like, it's firing. Like, it was really, really cool, you know. So I certainly didn't feel any nerves, at least from him. If anything, he rose to the occasion.
Yeah.
But
he sort of mentioned a couple of times that he was like, you know, I haven't really got loads of friends. I'm not much of a socializer, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you're all my friends now.
Yeah.
And all this sort of stuff.
And he's just a gym rat. He's a total gym rat.
I just thought there might have been a little bit in there of him trying to adjust to his surroundings a little bit and deciding, sod it, I'm just going to have fun with these people. They're all here. Let's see what this, let's just sort of...
Yeah.
You know, tear one off and see where we go with this. And, you know, there were a few moments that had you sort of wincing. Going,
yeah, yeah. There were a couple of things I wish you would have taken back.
You don't want to be saying some of that stuff. But some of the other stuff was absolute gold. And if we can keep that, the trouble is you can't, because of the way his personality is, I don't think you can have one without the other.
Nah.
Yeah.
And for a mainstream, a sport that is now mainstream, that's a tough sell.
Yeah.
And he said it himself. He thinks they've brought in Alex Pereira to beat him. And that they haven't given him someone who can wrestle or someone who's known to wrestle.
Right.
I think, as you said at the press thing, I think we might see a bit of wrestling out of him. So, but it's an interesting matchup. But that media day was a unique experience.
All right.
Put it like
so
that.
So you touched on. I want to get into the fight aspect of this because it is interesting. Like, I will say this. I think this was perfect matchmaking, right? Because I am of the opinion with Alex Pereira that, look, he's going to lose some fights. There are some terrible matchups for him in this division. But we all know why he was brought in, because of his history with Israel Adesanya. And the UFC, I think, has done a good job of managing him to this position. And, look, they're giving – I mean, does Alex deserve this fight? No, he doesn't deserve this fight. But is it a fight that, you know, you can get away with making and that you can put him in? I honestly believe if he beats Sean Strickland, they should absolutely make the title fight right away because of the history, because of what you can sell. And like I said, there's people in this division. They're going to beat Alex Pereira. There's no doubt about it. Now, here's what I'm wondering, because I think it's a perfect piece of matchmaking. I think it's smart. It potentially maneuvers Alex into a title shot. It's the right stylistic matchup. But Sean has the ability to out-wrestle him. Sean absolutely has the ability to out-wrestle him. Yep. But I know he says, I hate wrestling. I hate boring fights. I want to be, you know, he likes to go out there and bang. I think, and this is why I'm torn on this fight, because if Sean does go out there and say, like, I'm going to strike with this kid to prove a point, I think he gets knocked out, to be honest with you. I think he gets knocked out. I mean, granted, he's got a nice jab. He's got nice pressure. He could take a shot. I'm not saying it's like he has zero chance. He does have some chance. But I think he drastically increases his chances of winning the fight if he's like, I'm not messing around with you in the stand-up department. I'm just going to wrestle. But I don't know if he has that in him. You know, like, I think it's – and I think even Izzy touched on it. He said if he fights with ego – And I don't even know if it's ego. Like, maybe it is. Maybe ego is the right word. I don't know. But it's just like, that's just who he is. Like, I think he wants to fight that way.
I mean, if there was anything I were to credit where I think that maybe he's smart enough to know that he doesn't want to just play into his opponent's strengths, is he credited? Chris Curtis credited him for helping him in his training camp. Here's Strickland crediting Curtis and what he's able to do. The whole thing, Curtis said, yes, I could fight a guy that's great on the ground in jiu-jitsu, but do I want to go in there and only do jiu-jitsu? That would be stupid.
Yep.
Of course I'm not going to do that. So I guarantee the whole mantra of that camp and everybody that was training with him was like, don't play to your opponent's strengths.
Yep.
You know, play to his weaknesses. And I guarantee Sean's smart enough to know that, okay, here's a guy that's a great kickboxer, you know, world champion, all this other stuff. Don't make it a striking match. You know, play to what weaknesses that he's shown.
And I know we all love stand-up battles and wars, but
yeah.
I loved Chris Curtis being like, am I going to grapple with Adolfo Vieira? Hell no. Yeah, like that would be stupid, dumb. Like, I honestly wish Sean would have come in there today and be like, can I outstrike this guy? No, I don't fight in glory. But yeah, can I beat him in a mixed martial arts fight? Damn sure I can, like, and he better be ready for that.
But he didn't leave it at that either. He said there is not a fighter in glory in any weight class that he can't hang with in the stand-up fight. And he made a big point of it.
I know.
Now,
that could be gamesmanship.
Now, this might be the absolute perfect lead-up to a fight where he's leading everybody to think he's going to do what he always does.
Yep.
He's going to go in there, he's going to work behind his jab, he's going to look to effectively point-fight him. And just outpoint him over three rounds. But what we might see, and what if he wants to really have the best chance of winning and to drop the name of another UFC fighter who is not who isn't shy of a controversial opinion or two, he needs to go full Colby Covington in his approach in terms of the fight itself. Throw punches to, you know, get the opening.
Get inside.
Yep.
Then get inside and then get a takedown. And because if you stand on the outside with Alex Pereira, who is a big lad as well.
He's got an 80-inch reach.
He is a big unit for a middleweight.
He's got a
four-inch
reach advantage, if these stats are correct. Strickland's got a 76.
Yeah.
4 inches is big.
Well, it's even bigger.
I say that, I looked immediately at Morgan. 4 inches is a good day, if I'm lucky.
But the other thing is standing in front of him is the kicks. It's
4 inches wide. I'm 4 inches wide. 2 inches in length. I'm like a crumpet. Wide and thin.
And you spread butter on it, yeah? That's what
I did bring those in. Never mind.
We're more off the rails than Sean Strickland at this
dear.
Point.
No, trying to drag it back. Alex Pereira's kicks are a factor in this fight. You know, I mean, he's got the reach advantage in the punches, but I think the kicks are going to be even more of a thing. And I think Strickland may find himself in trouble. You know, we talked about low kicks with Izzy. Alex Pereira's low kicks are going to be absolutely savage.
He's a hulk of a dude, man.
He's a monster. He's a monster.
Literally looks like easily a light heavyweight. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and bigger. He's just a beast of a dude, man. He's going to be a problem for anybody. And the fact that God bless Izzy's just like, oh, I'll make him look even worse now. I'm just like, dude, you both look like young kids when you guys fought before. They both look like men now. But Alex looks like a man's man. That dude's a fucking beast.
I turned to
man.
Abby at Media Day, and Alex Pereira's on the stage. I just turned to Abby, nudged him, and went, he looks like a killer, doesn't he?
He's a beast, he looks
like a killer. Like,
it's in the eyes. Both of them had the eyes. There's something in their eyes you could tell when they're just like, that dude's seeing shit, and like you don't want to get on the wrong side of him. Yeah. But Alex, I mean, he really has it, man. He is a killer.
Oh, yeah, and I think if Alex wins this fight, you book the title fight right away.
Yeah, you do
it. The history's there. Yeah. The story's there. It'll sell. And like I said, Alex is going to lose some fights, man. There's some matchups that don't make sense to him.
But you got to
book the title fight.
The one thing that we need to not lose sight of is the experience gap is absolutely
massive.
It's not a gap. It's a chasm, right? It's massive, right?
Between Strickland and
Sean Strickland has a very, very extensive career. He's fought all different types of opponents, and he's found a way to beat most of them, right? His form is excellent. And you're talking about Alex Pereira, who he's only had a handful of fights. This is by a distance, the best fighter he's ever faced in MMA. Mm-hmm. And this is an enormous jump for him. And let's not underestimate. You know, we're talking about the fact that this is a big stage. We're going to have a sold out crowd, hopefully, at the weekend. We had a big media day. Like, the scale of everything is big. Mm-hmm. And Alex Pereira's coming into this. Yeah, he's the betting favorite, which I find interesting.
Barely, though. It's barely.
It's almost a coin flip. But it's almost a coin flip.
He started as the dog, and he got bet down to the favorite, slight favorite, almost a coin flip. Yeah. But that just goes to show you that I think people
are buying into the whole Izzy thing.
Yeah,
they maybe didn't know the
real story about it. Now, as they're finding out, they're like, whoa, this is the guy I had to beat Izzy? Oh, okay.
This is the thing. If this is a striking matchup, Alex Pereira is the favorite, right? If this is a proper mixed martial arts fight, and that means Sean Strickland fights mixed martial arts, not just striking.
Right.
That's the thing. We mentioned it earlier with Volkanovski. I think he's a better mixed martial artist than Max Holloway. Clearly, Strickland is a better mixed martial artist at this stage than Alex Pereira. Now, Pereira may develop into a great mixed martial artist. Right now, he's a world-class kickboxer who's had a handful of fights in MMA. He's still got the training wheels on in terms of MMA, right? He's in there with a seasoned veteran of the game. And if Strickland fights with his head, he wins this fight.
I agree.
You know?
But I don't know if
it's gonna be gnarly.
But I don't know if he will.
If I was a betting man, I would avoid this fight like the plague. The odds aren't attractive enough on either side to take a punt.
This will bust your parlay.
100%
yeah. I would back away, sit back, and enjoy the action.
But his knees are just so nasty, man. That even if he gets close, I mean, like, it's not even just his hands. You think he's gonna tie him up, but he's got that way of just getting a little bit distance and just destroying dudes with his knees. Strickland's got a tough fight, man. This is a tough one for him. He's got to get him to the ground. He can't even get into the clinch in this, because in the clinch, he's in danger. He has to get him to the ground.
I'm going to go ahead and knock on wood right now, but Robbie Lawler, Brian Barberina can't suck, right? There's just no way that fight doesn't suck, right? It's going to be a fun fight.
Brian Barberina looked like a kid on Christmas Eve in the media day today. He just looked like all his Christmases had come at once. Like, he had a great fight with Matt Brown last time. I know he got booed to the rafters because it was in Columbus, Ohio, and it was a great fight.
Damn,
it was
a great city.
Oh, Kenny.
I-O!
There you go. And now he's got Robbie Lawler. He's on some sort of legends tour now. But Robbie Lawler, the last time I watched Robbie Lawler at International Fight Week, he was fighting Rory McDonald in the co-main event of UFC 189 in one of the all-time great title fights. And he's in the Hall of Fame, right? So, you know, but Robbie Lawler has been through a lot of wars now. This is not peak Robbie Lawler we're talking about. And Brian Barberena is the welterweight division's answer to the Energizer Bunny, right? He just keeps on plowing forward. He doesn't mind getting clipped here and there. He even said it. He said, I fully expect to be getting punched in the face. I expect to get hit as hard as Robbie Lawler can hit me.
Yep.
And I'm looking forward to it, or something like that, you know, to words to that effect. You know, he's embracing the violence that he's about to ensue. And this fight, as you said, it can't suck. And, you know, I think only an absolute thriller in one of the title fights will prevent that fight from being a fight of the night candidate. Unless Brian Barberena does something and breaks Robbie Lawler early, or Robbie Lawler just finds a punch from 10 years ago and lands it clean. You know, Lawler is a legend of this game. And in some ways, I would have been happier if he'd have retired earlier, because he's just an all-time great. And then when he got to win the belt, it was such a great moment because it felt like his chance had already gone and that maybe he wouldn't get his chance. He got his chance. He became champion. He had that little run. He had that moment at the MGM Grand against Rory McDonald, the end of the fourth round, that little moment
epic
where they
moment.
Just stared at each
epic
other.
Moment.
Just you know, he's going down in history as one of the all-time greats. He transitioned from the early Zuffi years to the modern-day Endeavor era of the UFC, and now he's giving back through Sanford MMA, helping a whole new generation of welterweights come through. This is going to be a tough fight for him, I think. Barbarina is just, he doesn't know when to stop.
I'm not going to lie. Since it is a UFC Hall of Fame induction weekend, mm-hmm. I don't always remember the rules exactly of what qualifies as but does he qualify as technically he could be in the Pioneer Wing, but he's going to be like a modern era guy? Like that's, I mean, he won the title in the modern era, so like technically he could go in as a pioneer. I mean, he's obviously a future UFC Hall of Famer. He's been a favorite of the organization for a long time. Dana White has clearly, you know, talked about his affinity for Robbie Lawler. The dude has delivered epic classics, you know, from day one. Does he qualify as a pioneer?
He's got to. I've just pulled up his record. His debut in the UFC was against Aaron Riley. Unanimous decision win at UFC 37. May the 10th, listen to the year, 2002.
Yeah.
20 years ago. More than 20 years he's had. I mean, now, granted...
I mean, wasn't Sakabara was brought in as a pioneer, right? And he never even fought in the UFC, right? Or did he get in there eventually? Or was it...
But
he was in the Pioneer
World. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But because there's an actual
range.
Yeah, he does. He qualifies because it's before the advent of the unified rules. So, mm-hmm. Oh no, that was 2000. So he did 2002. Okay.
Yeah, 2002.
No.
That was his fifth pro fight.
Damn it, he doesn't qualify for the Pioneer. Mm. I think that because
that would
be kind of like something cool.
Well,
I'd like to
you
see
put
Roxy
him in both.
In there.
Put him in both wings. You know, have him in both wings. But yeah, like he had that early run. And then he left the UFC, bounced around a few different promotions, went to Elite XC
That's
for a
crazy,
bit.
Man.
Strike Force for
he
a bit.
He misses the Pioneer Wing by like a year and a half.
Yeah, but I mean, what he is a legend of the game.
He's a legend.
He's a legend of the game. And when he does eventually hang the gloves up, he will continue to give back to the game. He loves the sport so much. And, you know, down there at Sanford MMA, he's clearly beloved by everybody in that gym.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing him fight again. It's been a while since I've seen Robbie Lawler fight live.
It brings a certain energy to the crowd. All right, main card kicks off with Pedro Munhoz versus Sean O'Malley. Listen, Pedro Munhoz, the strength of schedule that this man has had is insane, dude. The run of guys that he's fought is just absolutely insane. Here's another killer. And look, I'm going to say Sean O'Malley is a killer. I know a lot of people may look at him and say, still a little bit untested. This is his first test. I get that, and that's fair to say. But we're talking about talent, what you see, you know, has he proven it? And that's one of the things, you know, sometimes people, you talk about rankings and where people belong and stuff like that. To me, rankings are a list of accomplishment, not in a list of like where you anticipate them to be or where you peg their talent to be. So I like, you know, Sean O'Malley's kind of slow rise, but I do believe his talent is elite level. Now, this will be an opportunity for him to prove it. I guess the one thing I want to ask you guys about this, and look, it's really easy to write off Pedro Munhoz. That would be dumb. He's fought the best in the world, and he's pushed them to the end. But Sean O'Malley, I do believe, is the real deal. And I think it's easy to be like, Sean O'Malley, he's a hype train. He's this. I don't believe that to be the case. So I think if you're writing off either person, you're making a mistake. These are both two very talented individuals. They're meeting at a good time. Now, here's what I wanted to ask you guys. Does Sean O'Malley seem today a little more mature?
Minus the two watches that didn't work. Okay.
That was hilarious. Loved that.
They were super fancy.
By the way, he did seem incredibly annoyed that he was being asked about it.
Because it's so ridiculous. Like, they're super expensive watches, and you can't take the time to fucking program them? Like, bro.
Well, he does not wear them to tell time.
Conor McGregor did that.
I mean, come on.
He's doubling down. But that's what I think. Then you just feel like he's just borrowing somebody else's stick.
No, but he took... Conor McGregor had one watch that he didn't use to tell time. I got two watches I don't use to tell time. How about that,
and
son?
Here's the other thing,
that
Kenny.
Looks even more stickier.
He will, assuming those watches are showing different times, he will have the correct time four times today.
Look at that.
Right?
Look at that.
There you go.
It's so bad.
All right, but listen. But I get it. I mean, he's over the top in terms of his presentation, his style. He's not going to be everybody's cup of tea.
Would you ever wear a watch that didn't have the right fucking tie?
I don't wear a watch, period, man. I don't like having things on my wrist.
Who does that?
Man. Guys that are wearing very expensive watches.
So then you just take it off after you leave media day? You're just like, all right, cool, media day done. Let me put this watch
back
in.
Maybe he got paid to wear that watch, man. You know what I'm saying? You never know.
Maybe.
He's like, hold on, they're going to pay me how much to wear a watch? What if I wear two of them? You know what
I'm
saying?
You would think they want it to be working at peak, the right operations.
See, you're looking at this all wrong. You don't
know.
You're not on this level.
I guess not.
But
I'm not a fashionable man. I like my watches to be the right time. I'm wearing a fucking Fitbit.
All
right,
it's
goddamn right time, though.
So other than the watches not telling the right time, I get it. Look, his presentation, the way he dresses, you know, the hair, all that. Like, I get it. Like, some people are always going to call him a clown. They're going to say whatever. But, I mean, we have definitely seen this kid. Dude, it's so funny, man. Watching the other day, I think it was a countdown or whatever, and they were showing like his Contender Series fight, and it's like, I haven't seen it in a while, man. Like, you're like, that's the same dude. Like,
unrecognizable.
Kind of forgot like what a baby he was when he came in here, man.
That's for sure.
So, you know, listen, and he's always been about marketing. He's always been more about, you know, not just fighting, but the whole brand presentation and all that. And I get it. Like, he caught a lot of flack when he came out with the whole thing of, like, I'm not going to fight top 10 guys until I have a top 10 contract. By the way, that's just smart business.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, but he caught shit for it and all that. So I understand all the criticism, all the doubters, all that. But I don't know. Now that he's in the rankings, now that he's fighting a top 10 guy, I don't know. To me, he struck me as a little bit more mature today, a little bit more ready, a little bit more like, okay, let's go. I mean, he talked about, you know, he big upped Pedro, right? Which, in a lot of times, he's just been like, this dude sucks, this dude's da-da-da, I'm going to embarrass him. No, he's like, bro, I beat this guy, it means something. He's tough as hell, da-da-da-da. He big upped the UFC in terms of, hey, man, I know how you make money. I help them make money. I make more money. And that's the truth. You know, he said it. We're partners. The same thing that Dana always says. These are our partners. You know what I mean? Like, he's getting it. He's understanding it. And I don't know, man. And I even asked him, I said, look, you know, you win this, like, you slow played, but now do you accelerate things a little bit? And he didn't say – he didn't commit one way or the other, but he's like, you don't understand. Like, things happen fast. Da-da. I don't know, man. I honestly – I feel like this guy has slow-played himself into this position and has an opportunity to break out, but I'm not automatically just circling him on the bout sheet against Pedro Munhoz. Pedro Munhoz is tough. This is a tough test, but I feel like Sean is ready to really break out. I know he's already popular. I know he's already a star in terms of metrics and things like that, but in terms of, like, really being a guy, I think he's ready.
He's 27 years old now. Like, he's not a kid anymore.
It's like a Cormier line. Just being a guy, because Cormier's like, that's my guy. He's a guy. He's a guy.
He's not. Yeah, he's not. He's not a kid anymore, right? He's had. He knows. He knows the UFC ropes.
O'Malley is a guy.
Right?
He's a guy.
Yeah. He's just a guy that does this. Yeah. But yeah, he's in a good spot now. I think if he gets a good win over, see, Pedro Munhoz has never been knocked out.
I know.
Ever.
I know.
Right, and he's been in there with some killers. He's never been knocked out. So if O'Malley goes in there and somehow manages to knock him out or TKO him, then that's a statement. That's a statement. And
it's been happening more often. Didn't we just see that last week? Didn't somebody just get knocked out or finished that had never been finished before?
Now you're going to test my memory.
I know. I'm like, what happened last week?
I focus on one week at a time. Yeah. It's all my little pee brain.
Well, I feel like we just saw somebody
I know Glover Teixeira got submitted for the first time by a guy who was submitting someone for the first time when he lost to Jiří Procházka.
I mean,
I know that happened.
It's happening more and more these days. Was it? Oh no, it wasn't Magny getting submitted for the first time, was it? I feel like it's happening more and more. Mm. Like these guys that have been like people for so long have been like, oh, this guy's never done this. His toughness, that shit's kind of just the guys. Maybe just competition's happening so much, and maybe there's just always that first. But I feel like we've been having a lot of firsts like that lately, where guys that have been. Their chins have always been there for them. The chin didn't show up finally. Or a guy that's never been able to get submitted somehow gives his back up, you know. I mean, you never know. But Pedro's tough. Pedro's tough. I mean, like, it's – I don't know, man. I feel like if there's going to be something where he has a better chance of – and I could be completely wrong. I have a feel like he has a better chance of submitting Pedro than knocking him out. Because Pedro's chin is very, very tough, but O'Malley's jiu-jitsu and ground game is just absolutely sick.
But what you got to bear in mind is Pedro Munhoz is also BJJ black belt. He just doesn't use it.
Yeah,
right?
True. Maybe we forget he has it. But O'Malley's just fucking sick, man. Yeah. His jiu-jitsu's sick, man.
He doesn't use it. He's got more wins by sub than by knockout, which is slightly surprising. I'm just looking at his record now. Yeah. But
you
yeah,
think
I
of
mean,
this guy that wants to stand first, and then he hurts you, and then jumps on the guillotine.
It seems like that seems to be how it goes. But I mean, like, to take a look at Pedro Munhoz's record, right? Like, only a fool would write this man off, right? Yeah, he's on paper. If you just write the stats down, if you're doing like commentator's notes, right? Like Cliff's notes or something, you'd have lost four of his last five, right? Yeah, he lost to Dominic Cruz, former world champion, Jose Aldo, legend, former world champion. Frankie Edgar, former world champion in a weight class above. Aljamain Sterling, current world champion, right? So he's not losing to scrubs, right?
Yeah.
And all of those losses were by decision. All of them, like he took every single one of those former or current champions to decision. So this is not a guy who is getting blown out of the water by championship quality opposition.
Can't write him off.
Right? He might have a little bit of red at the top of his record right now, but every single one of those fights were competitive. Another reason for that, three of his last five fights were fight of the night bonus winning fights. So he's taking 50K home with him for his part in those fights. One of them was a win over Jimmy Rivera. Mm-hmm. But he got a bonus for the Dom Cruz fight. He got a bonus for the Frankie Edgar fight. So he's competitive against anybody. Sean O'Malley, and I find this really interesting. Like MMA, especially like the MMA fandom and MMA Twitter, can be really sort of, I don't know. It's ridiculous. Like when Sean O'Malley got the rocket boosters put on him by the UFC when he came through the Contender Series, there's a lot of pushback. There's a lot of fan pushback on him, you know? But then we get to the point where he says, well, look, I want to get paid if I'm going to fight the big guys. Then they're pushing back on that. So, well, make your mind up, you know? Yeah. Do you want him?
That was awesome.
Do you want him to fight the big guys? Or do you not want him to fight the big guys? If you want him to fight the big guys, give him big guy money, right? And so I think he's played things right. Yeah, he dresses very loud. He has the hair dye. He changes the hair dye for every event. He was pink today, very very colourful. But yeah, no, I mean, he's packaging himself. He's making himself marketable. He's standing out from the crowd. But then he goes in occasionally, does the business.
Yep.
Now it's acid test time, right? He's in there with a guy who has proved himself, win or lose, against the best fighters on the planet in his weight class. He goes in there and beats him. There could be no argument. The UFC needs to give him a new deal and then give him a fight against top 10 opposition. And then let's see how he does.
Damn straight. You know what time it is. Get it? Because of the watches?
Yeah. Just don't ask him what time it is.
All right, listen. We could literally spend the rest of the evening breaking down the rest of the card.
If you want
a deeper breakdown of the full card, tune into the live stream on Friday. Myself and Simon Head will be talking about this in between interviews. Our man Cody Mero will be around as well, so we're looking forward to that. But we'll lay this out. Look, this card is legit stacked. I mean, that main card we just went through is insane. I mean, there's not a fight on there you want to miss. You go to the prelims on ESPN and ABC, Brad Riddell versus Jalen Turner. That could be an absolute banger.
Yep.
Both of them kind of said, I don't think it's going to be a banger because I'm going to finish the other dude, but I think it could be an absolute banger. The legends, Donald Cerrone and Jim Miller. I mean, come on. Fighting for the all-time UFC wins record as well. I mean, that's cool. Like, look, I'll be honest with you. Some of the stats that we track sometimes, I'm like, who fucking cares, if I'm being honest with you? But the all-time wins record
that
in the UFC,
that means something.
Yeah. Not most significant strikes in three-round featherweight bouts or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, no, the all-time wins record, that means something. Ian Garry versus Gabe Green, of course, a lot of people high on Ian Garry. But, you know, as he said, man, I could go choke out, you know, whatever. He's kind of the same way that O'Malley said, where O'Malley was like,
I'll beat Khabib and
be
like, yeah.
I feel like Ian Garry was saying the same thing, where he's like, I don't know, whatever I do, it's not going to be good enough for people. Brad Tavares versus Dricus du Plessis. Brad Tavares,
great fight.
It is crazy, man. 12 years in the UFC, and he's still in the rankings. I know we're all high on Dricus du Plessis. Then you go to the early prelims. The early prelims, are capped off with Uriah Hall versus Andre Muniz.
That's sick.
That's insane. Two ranked fighters there. Love Uriah, but they don't want to. In the same way that Chris Curtis didn't want to go to Hadal.
Floor is lava.
Yeah,
floor is lava.
Floor is lava for Uriah Hall. If he can do what Chris Curtis did the other night, he should do that, because Andre Muniz is the real deal. Jessica I, Macy Barber, two ranked fighters there. And Jessica Rose Clark versus Julija Stolyarenko. We won't break them all down. Like I said, if you want to join into the YouTube stream on Friday, do that, because I'm sure myself and Simon Head, over the course of 7 hours, we'll have plenty of time to break down some fights. But I guess, Cole Coffey, I'll start with you.
First fight, that's the hottest shit.
That's the one you're most excited.
Jess and Julie Stolyarenko. Holy shit.
There's the Duke fight of the talking.
Night. Whatever. There's a lot of great ones, but that one's really hot.
That's the one. All right. Simon Head, feel free to use whatever
this
criteria
is the kind,
you
this
want.
This is what the analysts tune into. I am the picks leader in MMA Junkie. I'm just saying.
Let's keep it going.
There's a bunch of champs here, though.
As a former champion, I can congratulate you.
There's a bunch
on
of champs here right here.
Yes, I am, Abby Saban.
It was the asterisk year.
Asterisk,
but he
special.
He beat me out. I got number two that year, but he beat me out. And
I didn't even need a full season
nice
to beat
yeah
you. That's how good
nice
it was.
We got some studs in this room. That's right. You're right up there too. We'll get Abby on here before the show's over to say hello to everybody.
I appreciate you guys. Keep my belt nice and warm. You know what I mean? Like, which one are you looking forward to?
Let me chuck two names in for you, because we haven't mentioned them too much. I'm looking forward to Tavares Dricus du Plessis. Dricus du Plessis is absolutely legit.
I think
he's top 10 caliber at middleweight. I really do.
I don't disagree.
I really do. I just think he needs the fights to get there. And this is the one that does it. And you think Israel Adesanya's UFC journey really started here in Vegas at the Palms against Brad Tavares in a main event? This is Dricus du Plessis' chance to really make a statement. If he can finish Brad Tavares, then that's a massive statement, because no one finishes him easily. So, and the other thing, Ian Garry, like him or hate him, he's a very confident lad. Very, very talented, undefeated. Just want to give a word to Gabe Green. Gabe Green is legit. Like, you watch some of his past fights, and I remember he came into the UFC. I used to do Rookie Report at Junkie, and he fought Daniel Rodriguez on his debut. That's a tough fight on your UFC debut.
Yep, D-Rod.
And he lost the decision in that fight. But since then, he's won fights since then, and he's looked pretty solid. He's durable. He's prepared to go toe-to-toe, strike for strike with people. I think he's going to have a size disadvantage against Ian Garry, but he gave one of the best lines of media day today, because Ian Garry had apparently said in a previous interview that Gabe Green's nickname is Gifted. Gifted Gabe Green. And Ian Garry had apparently told another outlet, the only gifted fighter on Saturday night is going to be me. And one of the journalists put it to him at media day, and Gabe Green went, that's funny, because on Saturday night I'm going to gift him an L. And I thought that was a lovely, lovely line. And, I'm looking forward to that fight. That's a good test for Ian Garry.
That is a good fight.
It's a good test.
Ian left – I mean, a lot of people were seeing this kid as, like, the next second coming of, like, the greatest fighter ever. And that last fight, I mean, the flaws were shown. So, I mean, if he comes out and gives everything – I mean, that's the one I think people are looking at to see whether this kid's worth all the hype, because he has a lot of hype coming.
Yeah.
The UFC's chomping at the bit to fucking push this guy to the moon and back.
You put him in the same bracket is Paddy Pimblett. They're both former Cage Warriors champions. They're both very comfortable in front of the camera.
He's great in front of the camera.
They're very outgoing. They give their opinion. Just let them settle in the UFC. Let them progress. And I think if you spoke to either one of them, yeah, they're very confident, but both of them, I think, would tell you the same thing. They're not going to go out and win the title tomorrow.
Right.
They need to take the steps needed to get where they need to be. I think they've both got their feet on the ground, even though they exude confidence in very different ways. They're very different characters.
I think Ian's more realistic about that.
I think you're right. Between the two of those two? Correct.
Yeah. I think Paddy thinks he could fight for a title tomorrow, whereas Ian's like, nah, let me take baby steps.
I think Paddy's more grounded than a lot of people think. I mean, maybe I've seen a lot more of him, and I've read and watched many more interviews. I think, like, he's a super confident guy, but he knows the score. He knows that you can't jump from point one to point 100 straight away. There's a process, and he's working through that process. And Ian Garry's the same. Ian Garry, he's leaving his gym in Ireland. Team KF was quite controversial at the time, and I think there was a little bit of consternation between them when they split. But that aside, him joining Sanford MMA, I think, is a great move for him.
Yeah.
There's so many welterweights in that gym that can really help him progress. There's so many good coaches there. And, I'm looking forward to seeing how he does. He's not going to be world champion tomorrow. And I know a lot of people will be turned off by the overt confidence. But just judging by his performances in the cage and realize that he's only a couple of fights into his UFC career and just see how he goes.
And I mean, and the UFC loves that market. They love the Dublin market. They love the Irish. They love everything Europe that's over there. I mean, and these, and like you brought up Paddy, I mean, like, these are two guys that that whole market can rally around. I mean, the UFC will never get away from that market, and they have to constantly look at stars. They can only go to Connor for so long before finding new stars, and these guys are the new breed.
Yeah,
that they need to kind of lean on.
Paddy, Paddy's not Irish though.
Well, but
he's a Scouser. He's a Scouser. But yeah,
I'm just Scousers, Europe,
and Scousers don't get knocked out. Just sort of mention that on behalf of Mr. Pimlet. Scousers do not get knocked out. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward. This fight card is just top to bottom.
That's insane.
Stacked. It is absolutely stacked. So many good fights. You know, we've seen in the past, I think Dana did it at the London event where he just dished out bonuses like Oprah.
He's been doing that a lot lately.
He did it, I think, a week or so ago as well. Yes. Everyone who got a finish got a bonus.
Is it tax time or something? Why are they giving all this money out all of a sudden?
Yeah.
We got to have some write-offs, yo.
I wouldn't mind that, though. If you get a finish, you get a bonus. I quite like that as a thing. And then maybe just do fight of the night. Just have one fight of the night bonus and give bonuses to finishes. I think that would be great. I think they've got the bandwidth to do that.
I mean, they certainly have the money that they could do it.
But I think we're going to see... This is a spectacular card. I'm really looking forward to this. It's going to be a belter.
I love it. All right. Well, make sure, everybody, if you want to hear the and a half wrap-up edition, you head on over to patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow. You can support us for as little as $3 a month. Myself and Cold Coffee would certainly appreciate it. If nothing else, make sure you, wherever you're listening, you log in, you rate us, review us, leave us a little feedback. We appreciate that. And look out for the live feed this week over on
that other site.
The MMA Underground YouTube page. Myself, Simon Head, Cody Merrill, we're putting it all together. Looking forward to it. It's going to be big. There's the Hall of Fame induction tomorrow night. There's going to be the UFC X on Friday and Saturday. There's UFC 276.
It's
so much to do.
And the UFC 278 presser is going on.
A lot going on.
So much. Tune in to MMA Junkie.
I mean, you could, but why would you really? In the meantime, thanks for listening. We'll be right back.